This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, welcome to MFG Out Loud, another courageous conversation about sales and marketing for manufacturers. Hey, if you're new here, welcome. We appreciate you being here. This is the place where we say the things out loud that everyone's been thinking about. And today is a hot topic. The family business. Da-da-da. What we're going to talk about is it helping you or holding you back? So Ray, why don't you set the context for us?
All right, Allison. Here's the deal. You either own or are part of a family business. Most likely it was started decades ago, and as was typical then, but not so much now, probably started by a white male whose son took over upon his or her retirement or death, and maybe you're now second or third or even fourth generation in that business.
Exactly. And to that, these are the DMs on LinkedIn and calls that we get, you and I both, weekly, almost weekly at this point. So here's scenario one. You're the younger generation who's been put in charge of running the business or of growing sales and marketing, and you're not getting buy-in from senior leadership. It's like an SOS call that I get all the time, and I know you've had them as well.
Oh, yeah.
They're frustrated. They don't know how to get through to senior, and just leaves junior in the lurch of, well, I know I need to do something different, but they don't believe that we need to do something different. Help. How do we get past that barrier? Scenario two, you are not part of the family, right? Mm-hmm. And you're getting pushback, or you're not supported for wanting to make changes and improve the marketing or align sales and marketing, God forbid, or adopt social media or rebrand, which is just, I'm trying to think what are some of the things people have told me, like, that's just crazy talk is what they do. Why would we want to rebrand? Why would we want to spend that money? So anyway, those are a couple of the scenarios that keep coming up. So what we were thinking today on this episode was to talk about, you know, set the context and then talk about some of the challenges and beliefs that are holding family businesses back.
Sounds good. Sounds good. One of the things I see and hear all the time is, well, since we've been successful in the past, surely that's going to continue if we just keep doing things the same way. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for us.
Exactly. If it ain't broke.
How about it? Or the other one is this sense that success in the past is somehow genetic. It's passed along. Junior of any gender is a chip off the old block. So surely the wisdom that the founder had or the second generation, it must be in the blood. So they'll follow right along, you know, with it. The other thing I'll see, this is, I won't get too specific, but sometimes certain nationalities follow some old country rules, meaning basically the oldest male heir is the one that's going to take over. That's how it's always been. That's how it's always going to be. But should it, something that comes up.
And I know that is very common in the, I want to say outside the U.S. Mm-hmm. I have seen, and I really like to hear from you as well. Have you seen a change occurring in, especially in the U.S., where more daughters are taking over the family business?
Short answer is yes. Absolutely. I think and I'll add to that is some of the strongest results and change the best, the greatest skills at navigating change. I've seen some remarkable turnarounds that have happened when daughters or even granddaughters have taken over businesses. I've seen the same thing with guys as well, but that's really a new phenomenon and something I hope we see more and more of because it's working.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Another one, our family members are treated just like everyone else. And that's not actually true.
Yeah, that's, I think there are a lot of polite smiles and agreements that happen among all levels within an organization, shop floor to the front office. Nobody's going to openly speak out or speak up about a family member, and that adds a level of responsibility to the family members that are part of the business. You should be proudly part of the business, but you're subject to a higher level of scrutiny, number one, and frankly, a higher level of performance. The expectations are just higher. You have to be better than because you're part of the family. If what's keeping you in that office is because you're family, that's not healthy in the long run.
True. One thing that I have seen, gosh, numerous times, and it's still happening in 2020, is the belief that being family owned and operated is a differentiator. And, you know, it used to be, but I think it's important to dispel that myth that no longer is that as compelling and relevant as it used to be. Why do you think that is?
I think that's a legacy thing. I've been at this long enough to remember before private equity deals were called leveraged buyouts. And at that time in the 80s, it used to be a badge of honor for particularly manufacturing companies to be able to come out and say, well, we're a family business, meaning we have proudly stood up to this financial engineering, so you can count on our independence to have your best interests at heart, was a thing. Now, that was a brief window that was allowed to be, that really, really mattered. I think being family-owned is something to be proud of, and it does, it is a special ingredient in what makes your business awesome, but it's not the only thing. And if that's what you're leading with and counting on it to be a differentiator, it's not. It doesn't carry the weight today that it did.
I totally agree. And unless you're that rare company with that rare culture that is so, I think, visible and inviting, I think it's more, anyway, in my humble opinion, it's more on the rare side that is actually your differentiator anymore.
It's particularly not a differentiator on the smaller end. If you're very small, as in a startup, it can add an element of feistiness, spirit and innovation, agility, that's awesome. If it was on the other end of the spectrum, or if you can show how the progression through generations hasn't been just a handing of the crown to the new leader, but you've been able to demonstrate, look how we've continued to grow and evolve and keep up through all these generations, it's something to say. The other end of the spectrum is if you're among the few that can be very large, a very large manufacturing organization that is still family owned and still operates in a way where that family presence makes a difference to the clients, then you've got something to talk about. Mm-hmm. The rest gets lost in the noise.
Let's see. Oh, this is one that I hear all the time. And you and I have had some spirited conversations about this. When these younger generations that have been reaching out to us in the last 2 years, and this is what they're hearing from senior leadership as a current belief. We've never had a tagline, a value proposition, or a fancy website, or social media, for God's sake. Why do we need it now? How is that going to help us? And how are we going to be able to measure ROI?
Yeah.
And there's no respect. There's no belief that this is needed or that it's going to help them.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes, go ahead.
No, I just think a lot of times it's fear of the unknown. What do you think?
I think the frustrating part, it's kind of like being in the family, where you get home and you try and explain something, to your folks or something, and it goes in one ear and out the other until your older brother or sister or whatever says it, and then they go, oh, that makes sense. It's like, well, that's exactly what I said. Sometimes it's not what's being said, it's who's saying it. Which is where if the younger generation or whatever is really trying to make a case, as much as we all want to be seen, well, because I said it, the conversation ends there and there's no further discussion. You know what? Life doesn't work that way. Sometimes you have to understand how to manage. What you're really bringing that whole concept up for is because you want to improve the business, right?
Yeah.
So does it matter that, does it really matter that it was you saying it that got it accepted? Or if you leveraged an outside resource, maybe a peer, maybe, a felt marketing, whomever came in and said, listen, here's what others in the industry are doing. Here's how it is measured. And I guarantee you, it'll be one of those meetings where the senior family leadership from the company will go, well, that makes sense. And then the younger leadership is going to come out of there pulling their hair out going, and I've been telling them that for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. What matters is that the message is heard somehow. And that's just part of the navigating that has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's just what it is. It's real life.
Exactly.
I think what's so exciting is when we see or have been instrumental in helping them, junior, break down that barrier and really implement something amazing and new that is measurable, that does align sales with marketing, and to see the results and to see, senior so excited. Now, it's funny because I've seen both scenarios. One, senior comes and just showers you with accolades and says, my God, why didn't we do this 10 years ago? This is fantastic. The flip side of that, you never hear a word because of pride or I don't know. I don't know what it is. And that's fine. I think the results speak for themselves and the enthusiasm and the energy that's coming from your sales team and your employees and your customers. And to me, that's really what's important.
Which is one of the things we've touched on this before. One of the most remarkable things that comes from a rebrand or a tune-up, whatever is happening, particularly if it's done in an integrated fashion. I don't want to get too far ahead of future episodes, but as you're sharing this journey of rediscovery of what the business is all about and why we exist and, our customers that we're serving, you're going to find a remarkable amount of new buy-in created internally and pride generated from the employees who realize they're part of something more than what they thought they were part of. So that works for family and company family, as well. So that's one of the intangibles that comes along with it, but we see it all the time.
Well, that was the exciting thing we talked about in a previous episode was reigniting the founder spark.
Right.
And the power and the aftermath, I guess, but that might sound negative, that it comes with that.
Right.
And the renewed enthusiasm and spike in sales, and God, it just goes on and on. So yeah, it's actually such a big opportunity. And I think if, you know, more people would maybe just be open, like you said, to listening and saying, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? If we try this,
right?
It doesn't mean that you have to fork out $1 million to do it. That, not at all.
Right.
There are varying degrees of change and cost associated, right?
Yep.
To making these things happen, modernizing, getting more in touch with your customers, and becoming more relevant.
And I think what's lost on some of the senior generation, let's say, is their experience with social media is the crush of website developers that are out there knocking on door. You gotta, you know, here's what we can do, and we start with the website, and you know, you don't. What we've seen time and time again is you start with a conversation, and somewhere during that conversation you get a sense of what's their vision and their goal, and you start building from there. And you're absolutely right. It's a crawl before you walk, before you run endeavor. And between those stages, it's necessary that there's some absorbing and some questioning and some back and forth about things. And that whole journey can be a matter of weeks, could be a matter of months. Some companies aren't ready to take a step forward at all. But it's those that are ready to move forward, it's not like it was.
No, and I'm so glad you brought that up. And it's definitely, I mean, we could do 10 episodes on this, but I think it's really important for people to hear this and consider, you know, you and I know we both agree on this. We get so tired of seeing manufacturers get taken advantage of.
Yep.
By people who want to sell them something like a website, or
right,
here, you need to do social media. And they buy in and they say, okay, well, you know, we'll give that a try. And so it's like reskinning a book, right? You, or catalog or whatever, you put a new face on it. But, and now this goes for the website. Social media is a different beast, but you reskin it, but it doesn't say anything different on the inside. The substance is still the same old substance. And that's where it falls down.
Yep.
So you build it and you think people will come. They might the first time. It's unlikely they'll come back.
Right.
And the second half of that is social media. You know, I think, again, there are some beliefs by senior leadership that social media is still Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you had for lunch. It's about, you know, relationship status. And I think they're just, some of them are unaware that it has evolved way past that and become such an invaluable tool for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I just want to throw out here that we're definitely going to be covering in more than one future episode is, before you jump into social media, please, 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 realize that you need to have a content strategy, which means you need to know who you are and why you're different and what matters to your customers. You've got to have that, because here's what happens every single time. You hire someone to do social media, they just jump in and start posting, and within about a month, maybe three or four, I'm being generous, they run out of things to talk about. And they come to you and they go, what else should we talk about? And it's like you're caught with your pants down. And so it just slowly dissipates. And then nobody's doing anything with your social media platforms that you worked hard on for, you know, a couple months. And it's meaningless. So definitely, again, don't just jump in. And you don't have to be everywhere all at once. You can start with one platform, honestly, and, you know, and grow from there. So you just had to throw in that 2 cents.
No, glad that you did. And so much, this is a whole nother episode. It was just understanding all of the what social media means for manufacturers, how it ties to the ROI that's measured. Ultimately, everything you're doing on the marketing side, on all aspects of it, social media, translates down to the sales side. If it doesn't tie back and the KPI isn't new revenue, you know, new business, you're not going about it the right way. That's why you do it. It's not clicks, it's not stickiness. It's not all, it's new clients. It's retention of old ones, getting new ones, raising sales, period. Yeah. Right.
And that's the bottom line, right? It's just about engagement, but it's also about conversion. And then it's about nurturing people post sale. And that's also where social media is so wonderful.
Right.
Part of that nurturing that we didn't used to have before. So, okay, well, to keep things clicking along and really give, you know, value, let's talk about some action steps that manufacturers can take if you are having any of these dilemmas, unless you're that, you know, unicorn family business that is experiencing none of these things, which that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some things people can do to maybe right the ship or, you know, turn things around and change their trajectory.
You know, a lot of it, to me, it comes down to a couple of areas. One is around unspoken or family businesses have their own elephants in the room. Sometimes it's the generational thing where it's like, oh, you're so new. You know, where are you getting your new ideas? You know, where are those things coming from? And a family business, you need to be extra vigilant about gathering input from outside the four walls of your business. And there's some great ways to do that. There's all kinds of training opportunities to attend, whether it's through local manufacturing excellence programs, through universities and colleges, trade associations, coaching opportunities, masterminds, mentors. Reach outside your organization to get ideas. You're going to learn a couple of things. One, the problems you think are unique to your business are not. And the more people you talk to, you're probably going to find somebody that is going to give you at least the hint of an idea about how you can resolve it in your organization. So that is so important across all facets of your operation, not the least of which is the sales and marketing. Specifically on sales and marketing, talk to people that are having success and their business is growing. Your neighbor down the street that is not short of opinions about the way you ought to do sales and marketing, if he hasn't added or she hasn't added a new client in the last 5 years, move on. Talk to somebody else.
Yeah, and another hot topic that's come up quite a bit is planning for and talking about succession. And you and I both know some really great resources that people can tune into, like Manufacturing Talk Radio, Making Chips. They have done some great episodes and interviews on this topic.
Right.
So we will list those in the show notes, along with some other resources. But there is, you know, that's definitely a topic that you don't want to wait, right? You want to do it now and have that plan and have it laid out so that, God forbid, if something happens in that family, there's a plan and everyone feels comfortable and equipped, right?
You know, the one thing when I talk to business owners and family members, every one of them says what matters most is their workforce, and that they build and they have a legacy that they can leave, you know, to allow those, you know, to allow everyone to continue to participate, you know, in that business. Not having a plan in place is the quickest way to push all of that off the cliff, you know. Yeah. So it's, you need to talk about it.
Yeah, certainly. Also, another thing is paying attention to what competitors are or aren't doing, and especially online. So you'll either see a huge opportunity to own a space where they aren't yet, or you're going to confirm, in fact, that they're showing up and engaging where customers are, and you're not there and part of the conversation. So ask yourself, why not? Is this right. is this someplace where we should be? Because they're there.
And it's good to look. I'm a big fan of understanding where there are gaps. And it's like acknowledge those gaps, but that's an excellent place to start drawing in some of your outside expert resources, because there's a lot of really bad social media stuff being done too out there. So you need to be careful that you're not, they use the same metaphor, not following them off the cliff too, but at least look to where and how they're engaging and challenge some of that. They may be right. It may give you ideas about other places they're not even thinking of.
Yeah, for sure. Like think Uber, you know?
Yeah.
Truly, this is an unlimited time and space for people to, manufacturers, to be creative, right. to create a new category of one, to create a whole new conversation.
Right.
That maybe hasn't even been thought of yet.
Yep.
So if there was ever, I don't think there's ever been a time like we have right now to take advantage of the opportunities. And the cost, it's a fraction of what it's going to be in the future.
Bingo. The cost associated to innovate or experiment is so ridiculously low. It's agree 100%. Never been a better time to innovate in getting your message out there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you, I know, are a huge fan of using outside advisors for perspective, even some that you might not think of, like attorneys, your bankers, your accountants.
Yep.
Right? Yep.
Exactly. And it's like, you know what, those are typically built-in resources. Chances are they're the family firm. You've always been doing stuff in these areas. Spend some time, go to lunch with any or all of those folks and say, listen, I want some perspective. They see other businesses out there similar to yours. Just ask, informally benchmarking, are we better than, less than? What do you see in terms of opportunity, stuff like that? Get some input. Those are the people you know and trust right now. If you want to take it a step further and go from there, I'm seeing more and more organizations are putting together advisory boards, which may include one or more of those people, some of the key management from the family, as well as perhaps a valued industry peer that you may want to sit in and give some perspective. You may sit on their board as well, but just somebody that can look you in the eye. You still make the decisions, but somebody that can look you in the eye and say, this might not be your best course of action, and here's why, and not have to worry about any repercussions. Hey, you asked for my informed opinion. Here it is. Here's my advice. Follow or don't, but that's so important.
Yeah, and absolutely. And as we wrap up, why don't you share some examples of best practices, manufacturers that are doing this well?
I happen to know in the Chicago area, there are a couple of companies that have managed this extraordinarily well. Both companies have continued to grow and innovate, and the families themselves all get along fantastically well, and I've just seen it. One of which is Weigel Toolworks. Been around, they're probably on, let's see, first, second, third generation, and the third generation has 1, 2, 3 active family members in the business, and they've made the business continues to grow, continues to innovate, doing some really clever stuff in the metal stamping space, really high-end stuff. Weigel Toolworks, we'll put their website out there for you to take a look at. Aaron Weigel and his team, they've been part of panels and podcasts and talked about business transitions and just done a great job. Panic Precision is another company in the Chicago area, does a lot of very sophisticated turned parts for really demanding industries. This was a company that was implementing cobots on equipment, 5-6 years ago. you know, talk about a quiet leader in an industry. But again, you know, second generation really taking the business to a next generation. And it's obvious when you walk through there, everybody likes everybody. So again, check out panicprecision.com. Excellent organizations that are doing it right, and there's plenty more out there, but those are two I wanted to give a shout out to, and ask them how they did it. They'd be happy to tell you. There's no secret, but they've had conversations along the way.
And Panic is P-A-N-E-K.
Correct. Precision.com. Correct. Thanks.
Well, this is so exciting, and as always, there are many more conversations to be had. If you are listening and you have some thoughts or want to chime in, please do so on social media. We are there and we are listening. As always, thank you so much for listening and being a part of this tribe. If you're not already, please subscribe to this podcast. And because sharing is caring, tell a colleague to tune in. Remember, keep manufacturing out loud.
We need you.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.